ஸ்ரீகுருப்போ நம. ஹரி ஓம். கணானாம் த்வா கணபதிகும் ஹவாமஹே. ஜ்யேஷ்டராஜம் ப்ரஹ்மணாம் ப்ரஹ்மணஸ்பத ஆனஸ்ருண்வந்நூதிபிஃ சீத சாதனம் ஸ்ரீமஹாகணாதிபதயே நம. சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரியமத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரியபர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். அமானித்வமதம்பித்வம் அஹிம்சா க்ஷாந்திரார்ஜவம் ஆச்சாரியோபாசனம் சௌசம் ஸ்தைர்யமாத்ம விநிக்ரஹ. So we are looking into the qualities of heart and mind, not physical. The qualities of heart and mind. Physical are secondary. The outer forms of religion are secondary. The inner spirit is the primary. And so here the inner spirit alone is discussed. So those qualities which are called jnanam. So, see, this is about mind. So here the vision is, you concern yourself with the mind. Don't worry about the world. The world, as long as the world exists, its contradictions exist. Therefore, not to worry about the world. There is no world out there. It is you, your mind, which is projected as the world. There is no world other than your mind. Therefore, don't worry about the world. You concern about yourself with the mind. If the image in the mirror is not good, you don't go and attack the mirror. Or you don't go and try to do something about the image. You try to do something about your face. Same way. So don't concern yourself about the world. In fact, keep the world aside. Be done with it. And then don't concern yourself with God and all that. You need not do anything about God. People are so they want to do something about God. So you need not do anything about God. God will take care of himself. He can take care. Then, don't worry about yourself about Atma. Because Atma is God. There is no other God. There is only one God. That is the God of... God abides in me as me. I heard this Julia Roberts saying... In the flight I was watching, suddenly she says, I was coming from San Francisco, and Julia Roberts appears there. And Julia Roberts means the name comes, and then she says, she sits like this, oh my goodness. And then she opens her eyes and smiles, God abides in me. Jaw dropped. And then as me. That is what she says. My goodness. The world is coming to something. Anyway.
She was Julia Savage for that movie, Eat, Love, Pray.
Ah, something like that. And I was surprised to see that. Anyway, so you concern yourself with the mind. That is the message. Number one. Number two, how to gain God? We have to gain God. That is the goal of life. Very worthy goal. But gaining of God, you see, God is not some huge boulder-like entity. You go and embrace it. Or it is not a gentleman. You go and sit in the lap. Gaining God is same as gaining Sadguna. It is the law, Sadguna Praptireva, Ishvara Praptihi. God is infinite compassion and you gain compassion. Compassion is what? Self-abnegation. So when you abnegate the small self totally, you have gained God. So that love, when all obstacles for that pure love in the heart are removed, you have gained God. Sadguna prapti reva, Ishvara prapti. That's why these qualities are not called jnana sadhana. Jnanan mokshaha, they are not called jnana sadhana as the means of jnana. No, they are called jnanam. These are the jnana. You get these qualities, they are interrelated also, closely interrelated. You get these qualities, you got the jnana. Jnana sadhana becomes the jnana. You see, people have to understand clearly, the end, it is the means which molds the end. People keep the karma and karma phala separately. So this is the karma which will give karma phala that. That is the thinking of Mimamsa. It is not the thinking of Gita. It is purely the thinking of Mimamsa. Karma Mimamsa. So here is the karma and there is the phala. And then they were in a quandary. How about this karma and karma phala, how to connect them? Ishvara, no. They don't accept Ishvara. Not Ishvara. So, forget about Ishvara. And then how to connect karma and karma phala? So they postulated a thing called Apurva. So the Apurva is created and that Apurva connects the karma to karma phala. So this is the Mimamsa thinking where the karma and karma phala are separated. So karma is in the present, karma phala, I am digressing. Anyway, I'll come back soon. So it is the means, which is the karma, that molds as the phala. Therefore, it is the jnana sadhana that molds itself as jnanam. And jnana itself molds itself as moksha, as atma. Atma, jnanam, moksha, ishvara, all are one and the same. Therefore, you concern yourself with the jnana sadhanam. Jnana. You concern yourself with that. It is all about mind. So you concern yourself with your mind. That is all one has to do. That's why it is called etat jnanam iti proktam. Some small introduction. So I have done a few things. Now we come to acharyopasanam. You see, even studying these things, one should have an open mind. So if you feel that you already know it, at least some of it you already know. So if you have some such ideas and fixations, that doesn't work. You should have a totally open mind and try to understand. Everybody, it applies to everyone. So I have seen Shaucham. Acharyopasanam I have not seen because I felt the time was not enough. So Acharyopasanam. You see, Upasanam, it means many things at a physical level. And also the mental level is there for upasanam. At the physical level, doing service. That is the upasanam. So you should do service to every teacher. Acharya means the one who teaches. Atmajnanam is the acharya. But not only acharya, even upadhyaya, etc. Everybody you should do service. In fact, every old person, a person who is old, who is not in command of his body-mind. So you should help. So that is the very general outlook. But then every teacher, so making it a little more particular, so every teacher should be served. But then here in this context is also there. Here Acharya means the one who teaches Paramatattvam. The supreme reality. That is what Acharya is. That's why who teaches the worldly things and who teaches some of these arithmetic calculus, such things, they are not Acharya, obviously. They are Upadhyaya. So we reserve the word Acharya, You have to serve them also. You have to serve Acharya means, it doesn't mean that you should need not serve anybody else. That is not the point. In a very particular context, Acharya means the one who teaches the supreme reality, Paramatattvam. Therefore, the one who teaches Karmakanda is not Acharya. Because Karmakanda is Upadhyaya. You can still serve Upadhyaya, but it doesn't mean the Acharya. So, Acharya achinoti cha shastrartham. Acharya sthapayatyapi acharati cha svayam acharya uchyate. Like that there is a verse. I did not get all of it, but most of it I got. So, one who expands the vision of the Shastra. The vision of the Shastra is, as I told you, every soul is potentially divine. That is the vision of the Shastra. Potentially means you have to discover it. That is the idea. So, every soul is the divinity itself. That is the vision of the Shastra. When you are worshipping God, you are only worshipping your own hidden self. That is the vision of the Shastra. And that vision is expounded. That is what an Acharya is. And then not only expounding the vision, Acharya sthapayatyapi. You see, the vision has a practical implication. Don't think that there is no practice or any such thing. There is practice. So, it has a practical implication. Practical means not judo. So, there will be an effect on life, a thought versus a living thought. There is a huge difference between the two. So, sarvam kalvidam brahma, that vision, it expresses in life. And there is also a situation where it doesn't express in life. So that kind of a vision, which doesn't express in life means in thoughts, in speech, and in actions. You say sarvam kalvidam brahma, and then you divide the humanity into pieces and act upon it. So there is no connection between the two. So there is a thing called anushthana. Shankara talks in Mandukya Bhashya, Vedanta Abhyasinantu. In the context of those who practice Vedanta, Vedanta Abhyasinam, and then there is a thing called Abhyasena cha Kaunteya, Vairagyena cha Krishyate. So that is Vedanta only, that is Gita only. And so Abhyasa Vairagya Abhyam Tan Nirodha. So we have to pay attention that there is a thing called living the vision. That must be the goal. So that is what an Acharya is. Acharya sthapayatyapi. He establishes the vision in the conduct, in his own conduct, and also helps the student to live the vision, because a living thought is more valuable than 1,000 books. Therefore, that is what Acharya is. So, Paramatattva, you know, it is not teaching Karmakanda or Upasana or Devatakanda, it is not that. Karmakanda and Devatakanda, that is how in Veda we call it. So, Upasana section. And that is what is also called Aranyaka. Brahmana, Aranyaka and Upanishad. Mantras will be there, mantras apply to everything. But Brahmana is the Karmakanda, Aranyaka is the Devatakanda or Upasana. And then Upanishad is the Jnana. Anyway, so a gentleman who is subservient to karma, what we call karma pashu, that is the word used in the Shastra, the words are used. You should not feel bad about such usages. Because they are there, you cannot shun or shy away from the words. Karma pashu means he is subservient to pashu, paratantra. He is always struggling to do karma, 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 karma. And he becomes very jittery when he misses his karma. And he is very insecure that he may miss his karma. This is what is called karma pashu. Then deva pashu Means devata, 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 this devata, that devata, this I have to do, this devata, that devata I have to do. This kind of devata pashu or deva pashu. And then indriya pashu. So, oh, this should be there, that prashadu should be there, like that. Always obsessed with the comforts of the body. So, this kind of obsession or psychological dependence upon things, that is not the acharya. So, who is acharya that you have to worship? Acharya upasana means you have to see that the acharya is free. There must be freedom in the acharya. He must be totally free. Free from what? Free from these things. It is not political freedom. Oh, I am very free living in a democratic country. That is not what we are talking about. It is not physical freedom. Take a car and drive anywhere you like. You can go to 80 East or you can go to 80 West. Nobody will arrest you for one thing or the other. That is physical freedom. We are not talking about that. We are talking about the freedom from such subservience, such subordination to karma, to etc. So, that is the acharya, because people have to, moksha is what? Freedom. That is what you are seeking. So, so that acharya, first one should understand what is acharya. Service has to be done to everybody. Even for elderly people you have to do service. For all teachers we have to do service. But in the present context, who is an acharya? So, sometimes this question is asked, who is acharya? So, I already gave you a few hints. So, based on that, one has to proceed. In addition to that, one can look at it. Shankara says, moksha sadhanopadeshtuhu. That is how he says. The one who expounds or who teaches the means of moksha. Moksha sadhana upadeshtuhu. So how to know? How to know he is the acharya, that he is the one who is teaching moksha for me? So by the time it is said moksha sadhana upadeshta, already you are given a direction. So if you move in that direction, you can find the acharya. With an open mind, one should approach it. So in your thinking, who has a true knowledge? That is the acharya. Finally, this question is asked. This is a famous satsang question. So this question is not asked in the ashram. Somehow it is not asked in the ashram. But by the time you go for outreach, this question, if you go to California, this question is certainly asked. Because Silicon Valley people, they weigh you in balance, really. So this question is certainly asked, who is the acharya? Because everybody comes to Silicon Valley. There is a, in fact, they can start a flight directly to Silicon Valley from some centers of India, non-stop flight, so that all the Mahatmas and Acharyas can regularly visit. Because they do come to Silicon Valley. And so the Silicon Valley guys are bombarded by too many Mahatmas. And so whenever they come across a Mahatma, they ask, who is a satsanga? You give them a chance, half a chance they will ask this question. I know it because every year I am answering this question. So I say, you give a thought, you be independent, you decide it, atmaiva hyatmano bandhuhu, be kind to yourself, and you bless yourself. You how do you think? In your thinking, the one who has a true knowledge is acharya. The one who, true knowledge, that is the one who is the acharya. And then the one who knows karma yoga, not the karma pashu, karma yoga, and who knows bhakti yoga, not deva pashu, bhakti yoga, and who knows jnana yoga, not the indriya pashu. So, that properly, these things are properly appreciated. It is not easy. A appreciating these things is not easy. In fact, as long as you think or you use this dialogue is quite often heard. We are karma yogis, living a life in family people, living a life of karma yoga. Then the question comes. This is how the question begins. We are family people, living a life of karma yoga. So in Swamiji, how do you feel about? So the question will come. I don't want to read the question itself. I want to contest that. How do you say you are karma yoga? You are living a life of karma yoga? Kya tamasha hai kya? Karma yoga. If you are living a life of karma yoga, you gain jnana immediately. Karma naivahi samsiddhi maasthita janakadayaha. What are you talking? It's not majaka. It's not some game. We are family people living a life of karma yoga. You should know what is karma yoga. No, we are playing role. You are not playing roles. You are obsessively attached to all the names and forms. So, we should clearly understand. See clearly where I am. You means not you. Generally I am saying, it's not you and me. You should rise above personalities. We are talking of life. If you are not willing to rise above personalities, then I cannot rise above personalities myself. Then there is no freedom. There is no examination. There is no exploration. There is no inquiry. So, it is not about you and me. It is about the vision. So, the karma yoga, if you know what is karma yoga, if you are so sure that you know karma yoga, then you live it. Be done with it. That is moksha. Karma yoga takes you to moksha. Don't worry about the technicalities or the semantics of it. So, karma yoga gives rise to chitta shuddhi, and in the chitta shuddhi jnanam happens, and then comes moksha. Yeah, all of that will happen. Karma yoga will really, really take you to moksha. Therefore, a proper understanding of karma yoga and bhakti yoga and jnana yoga, these things are properly understood. That could be a pointer. So, for knowing the acharya, then you see, you sit in the class, you have a few doubts. Generally, laukikas will have infinite doubts. The doubts are never going to end. That's why we have satsanga sessions going on endlessly, because the doubts will be coming up. So, that is how human mind works. But you can take this another pointer. When you sit in the class, suddenly you find, now the doubt is clear. I wanted to ask this doubt, but now it is already clear. I wanted to ask, but I need not ask now. If you find that situation, then that is a good pointer. You can take that as acharya. Another pointer. I am giving you pointers, 1, 2, 3, etc. The pointers are more about the student than the acharya, really. They look like the pointers to acharya, like sthita prajna lakshana. So sthita prajna lakshana means the characteristics of a evolved soul, an enlightened soul. It is more about the individual who wants to be there. So these descriptions will be like that. And then the one who thinks of your good only and nothing else, that is a good pointer. Because suppose you go to a gentleman for learning Atmajnanam. Now, why you need Atmajnanam? Why you need Atmajnanam? Because, can I be frank about it? Okay. You need Atmajnanam because you are confused. Right? You are in confusion. That's why you need Atmajnanam. About life, people are confused about life. They made a lot of money and are still confused. Before making money, they thought by making a lot of money, all confusions will go away. But more confusions have come. And then, so made a career, reached a position in life, and now still confusion. In fact, a lot more confusion than what was earlier. Therefore, people are confused. Now, I want to come out of that confusion, and therefore I go to a Mahatma. And now, you see, your focus is either on the Mahatma or on your confusion. Not both. This both thing won't work. So, nanyav pantha vidyate janaya, only one. So, where is your focus? Is the focus on the Mahatma or on your confusion? Generally, the focus is on the Mahatma. And therefore, your confusion waits. In fact, waits for a decade, then another decade it waits, a third decade it waits, whole life it waits. So, it is not about the Mahatma. It is not about the person. It is not about him at all. It is about your confusion. So, this point has to be made clear in the mind. And the Acharya will encourage you in that direction. So, it is not about certain formalities and certain ritualized reverence. Reverence is okay. I am not talking about reverence, ritualized reverence. It is not about all that. It is about your confusion. I am confused. It is like going to the doctor, a sick person going to the doctor. The doctor says, I am FRCS. Yes, sir, you are FRCS. My stomach is churning. Kindly do something about it. I have 1,000 patients. Yes, sir, you have 1,000 patients. God bless you. So my stomach is really paining me. Please do something for my stomach. If not stomach, something else. So, you must focus on your confusion. You will focus on your confusion only when you know that you are confused. But you think, I know already, what is their focus? Therefore, students should proceed in the right direction. This is the pointer. And one more pointer is, the Acharya, the teacher, he doesn't expect anything from you. Even your approval, you need not approve. What will you approve? What will happen if you approve? He doesn't care for your approval. Yeah, yeah, very well thought. So what happened? I am a great teacher. Then what about your confusion? It is still there where it is. It is not about proving myself as the great teacher. It is not about the teacher at all. It is about your confusion. So be concerned with your mind. Be concerned with your confusion. So with these pointers, you have to understand who could be an Acharya. Also, you can say, in whose company there is peace of mind, not excitement. People are very excited, one direction or the other. In the samsara, one kind of excitement, in the temple, another kind of excitement. All the time looking for sensations, not for clarity. Removal of confusion, that is what you have to look for, not sensation. So, if you go to 42nd Street, you get a sensation. Whenever I go there, I used to say to my friend, I will be going back to India. Let us go to Manhattan one time. So what will you do? I will walk on the footpaths of Manhattan. What happens? I get a sensation. My God, this is the capital of the world. And I am here. That is I could not believe it till today, that I am in Manhattan. Really. That's why I tell you one secret. In Manhattan, there is one center, Yoga Vedanta Center, Shivananda. They invite me. The moment they invite, I say, yes, I am coming. Because I get a chance to walk on the footpaths of Manhattan, the hustle and bustle of Manhattan, the glory, the excitement of walking in Manhattan. That is what is called sensation. Every time I pick up my sensation, now I can go back to India, no problem. So that is what people do. They collect sensations. And so that doesn't help. You get a sensation, you go to a teacher and get a sensation out of it. That is not the point. So in whose company there is peace? And the teaching itself removes doubts, as I already mentioned. And then it is the confusion of the devotee or the student. That is the only point, no other point. Because we are talking of Vedanta Upadesha, Moksha Sadhana Upadeshtuhu. We are not talking of world, we are not talking of this, we are not talking of that. We are talking of only one thing. So, that is welfare of the devotee by way of eliminating or dispelling his confusion. And the Acharya is one who doesn't seek, it goes without saying, who doesn't seek anything for himself or herself. No personal seeking. So many pointers could be there to help the students. First, the student must be sincere. Sincere in the sense not grim, but earnest. That earnestness, honesty, integrity, the commitment to the jnanam, that must be there. So, then once the acharya is understood, also, anyway, having arrived at that point, then upasanam. Before going to the upasanam, I will say one more thing also. Ultimate guru is the inner self. Ishvaro guru ratmeti. So ultimate guru is the inner self. Outer teacher is merely a milestone. So that's why it is about that inner light which removes the inner confusion. That inner light is the ultimate guru, that called Sadguru, because Atma is the Sat. And so that's why we call it Sadguru. Outer teacher leads the way there, shows the way there, not leads, just shows the way to the inner light. And therefore, outer teacher is like the milestone. You know, milestone means in India we keep a milestone, they keep a milestone. On that milestone, the number of miles will be displayed and also the place where you have to go. So that will be displayed. Very useful. If you, in Indian landscape, in our childhood, when we were going places by bicycle, so the acharya says, go there and give this to him and come back. So cycle, you hire a bicycle. They are available for hiring. And so you are now going. So Amalapuram, going by cycle. Amalapuram, 12, it says. Okay. So it is 12 miles in those days. Later it became kilometers. Okay, if not miles, nowadays it is kilometers in India. So 12 kilometers. And then you are driving and driving, pedaling the cycle. Now you want to know how far we have come. So suddenly another milestone comes and shows 6. So an acharya, outer acharya, is merely a milestone. He will show you the way. Ultimately, it is the inner light, the inner teacher walks with you to the goal. The outer teacher doesn't walk with you to the goal. Only the inner teacher walks with you to the goal. You know why? Because inner teacher is the goal. That's why when you reach the goal, you meet the inner teacher. And the inner teacher walks with you all the way to the goal. And so that inner teacher is in you and he is with you. So look within and you will find the inner teacher. And the outer teacher helps you to find the inner teacher. And so that inner teacher is your own self. And your hope and assurance of freedom rests squarely on the inner teacher. So this also is important. Otherwise, again, the focus gets shifted here and there. You need like a laser light, you know, laser light like thing. The focus must be really, really on the same thing, on the goal. And you should not be distracted any little this way, that way. You must focus on your confusion, and you must focus on the wisdom, clarity, understanding, and take all the help from the outer teacher, but always look within and seek the guidance from within. Take the help of the outer teacher. It is like the crutch. The strength to walk comes from within the leg. The crutch supports. The strength to walk comes from within the leg only. It doesn't come from the crutch to the leg. So all this has to be clearly understood. Having said that, upasanam, that is acharya, then upasana. Two words, acharyasya upasanam. One word I have explained. Now another word, upasanam. See, what is upasana? You do pranama. Pranama means prostrating, that is paying respects. That must be, that is the outer form. Shankara talks about this outer form in Gita in one place. So tadviddhi pranipatena, that is one verse. And then there are another 3-4 verses. Then comes another verse, shraddhavan labhate jnanam, within the same section of the dhyaya. So then while doing this verse, shraddhavan, Bhashyakara points out to the pranipata. So pranipata means prostrating to the teacher is the outer form. And so the love for knowledge which the teacher embodies, the teacher is what? He is not a physical person. He is not the physical shape that is important. It is not the physical personality that we are talking about. The teacher embodies the wisdom. And therefore, loving the teacher is the same as loving the wisdom. And so, that love for the knowledge, that is the Shraddha, that is the inner spirit, whereas Pranipata is the outer form. So, you see, in religion, the outer form becomes significant. Whereas in spirituality, you have to grow into spirituality, the inner spirit becomes important. So that shift has to come. Outer form will be there in its place. If the inner spirit is missing, the outer form could be misleading too. That is what Bhashyakara says, you may refer to the Shraddhavan Labhate verse. So that pranama, the outer form will be there, but the inner spirit of love, not love of the person. You see, you should understand that acharya is not a person. Is not a person. Neither you are a person. If you are a person and acharya is another person, then there is no knowledge anywhere around. Because knowledge is only when the person is not. Because it is not knowledge of the person. The Atma Jnanam is not knowledge of a person. It is the knowledge in which the person is no more. That is the knowledge. It is not freedom of the person. It is the freedom from the person. And therefore, Acharya is not a person. And the student is confused. Therefore, he may think himself as the person. That is the confusion. I think that I am the person. That is the confusion. And therefore, the student may be thinking that he is a person approaching the Acharya, who is another person. As long as the thinking persists, the confusion persists. The confusion is still there. That is the idea. From the Acharya side, it will not be there. Because from the Acharya side, he is not a person. He is the impersonal being, the impersonal reality. In fact, you should know that reality is not personal. This even God also, the personal God is the very first step of the journey. Personal God you adopt as the very first step. That is not the ultimate step. So, that is how even in upasana, what to speak of Atma Jnanam. And therefore, Acharya is not a person. And Acharya knows that. The student is yet to know. But, therefore, the love for the person is secondary. The love, the devotion, is not for the person. You see, In the world, there are countless, innumerable cults where it all degenerates into the love for the individual. And the ill effects are there everywhere to see, if only people are willing to see. Therefore, it is not the love for the person. It is not the love for a personality defined by certain systems and all that. It is not all of that. People are confused. It is about the love and devotion for the understanding of the truth. That is the upasana. Outer forms of pranama, etc. will be there. And also, you may help the acharya, maybe elderly than you. Obviously, the student is younger and acharya is elder. Not everywhere. Could be like that. There could be the opposite also. It is not about age, you know. So, chitram, patataror mule, vruddhashishyaha, gurur yuva, gurostu maunam vyakhyanam, shishyastu chinna samshayaha. Therefore, it is not about the age, but quite often the acharya may be elderly, and therefore some sharira sukha, means a physical comfort, can be provided. That is also part of the upasana. Generally, we hear the word shushrusha, acharya shushrusha. The word shushrusha is not physical service. It is not the meaning of the word shrotum iccha shushrusha, like jijnyasa. Jnyatum iccha, shushrusha, shrotum iccha, an intense aspiration or love for listening to the Shastra, because listening happens to be the primary mode of learning. Therefore, there is a love for listening to the Shastra. That is the study. Study is listening. And therefore, this young man goes to the Acharya, and he went to a Vyakaranacharya and requested, "Sir, I want to study Kaumudi with you." Study means he will be telling, this person will be listening, and so that is how the study goes. Maukhikam. Shravanam means maukhikam. It is not about writing and etc. It is all mukha. Even in universities, etc., even though they use a blackboard and all that, but still it is the mukha, the mouth, the speech is the primary mode of communication. And so he goes to this Vyakarana Acharya and requests, "I want to study Kaumudi with you." The Acharya said, "I don't have time." Because if we make a commitment, we have to stay with the commitment. The student may move away from the commitment, but the teacher should not move away from the commitment, you know. Student may have some fancy for self-knowledge and all that, or some Vyakarana fancy will be there. People have fancy all the time, some fancy. So already in the world, many fancies are there. And so one more fancy, self-knowledge, Atma-jnana fancy. And so the student comes. And then when the Acharya says Vairagya, he moves away. Why he talks about Vairagya? We want Atma-jnanam, not Vairagya. This is the thinking. So anyway, so the student may move away, but the Acharya cannot move away. He will stay with his vision. And therefore, when the teacher has to commit, he has to think. And so the Acharya told Vyakarana Acharya, "I don't have time." Because if he says yes, he has to, it will go off for 1 year or 2 years, Vyakarana, you know. "I don't have time." Then this young man waited and observed. The Acharya is going to the marketplace to get milk. He is bringing grass for his cow, and he is milking the cow. He saw this much, and then he came next day. "Sir, from today onwards, I will bring the milk from the marketplace. I will take care of the cow, bring grass for it, and I will milk the cow, both morning and evening." "Oh, is it? That saves how much time?" "Yeah, it saves more than an hour. That should be possible, that should be enough for my class." "Yes, it is enough." "Okay, this is the deal." This is called shushrusha. Shrotum iccha. So to make that shrotum iccha possible, so you help the teacher in certain respects. This is how it is called shushrusha. It is not that you do shushrusha and you will get jnana. It's not that. Suppose you join the Acharya, Vyakaranacharya. Now you start loving the cow. Oh, this cow is very great. Mahatmaji, you get some more cows because I love cows. Okay, he also falls into this trap and he gets another half a dozen cows. Now you make the cow's number grow and you are in a better Goshala. After this student came, the Goshala has increased leaps and bounds. What about his Vyakarana, that he had to move? So it is not that. Students should understand. It is not about that. That is the meaning of Shushrusha. Very appropriate and properly put in place, taken out of all kind of sentimentalism. It should not be sentimentalized and it should be very appropriate. That is what is called Acharya Upasanam. This is the outer form, not at inner. The outer form I have described. Then coming to the inner form, the real Upasanam, the word Upasana means Upasamipe Asanam Abidance. Whenever you see the word Asana, you remember the word Abidance. That is what Asana. Aste Asmin, it is Asanam. So he abides. Stays put. You know that expression? Stays put. That is the expression. That is called asanam. Therefore, upa samipe means you, not the physical person. It is not the physical person, samipa. Living near guru, upa samipe, acharya upa samipe asanam. Living near the acharya does not mean breathing the same air as the Acharya breathes. That is not the meaning of it. It doesn't mean the physical proximity. That is not the meaning of it. The meaning of Upasanam is you follow the teaching of the Acharya. You imbibe it. You obey it. Now, do not let the good intentions of the Acharya go waste. Have your Acharya as the teaching. It's not the person. You should rise above the personality. Have the teaching always in your heart. And remember the Acharya's instructions. The Acharya's instructions, so amanitvam, adambhitvam, so those instructions. They are the Acharya. Acharya is the embodies wisdom. And therefore, remember those instructions clearly. And remember perseveringly and abide. Abide those instructions. And that vision, instructions means sit, stand, it may not be like that all the time. Mostly it is in the form of wisdom and clarity. Sometimes it could be a physically following a given instruction. Suppose the Acharya says to do meditation. Meditation is not a doing in any case, it is being only, but as a preparation to meditation, do pranayama. Then that is the instruction you have to do. And so that is the real upasanam, that is the real abidance. Physical proximity is the least important. There is some importance to physical proximity. Without physically going near, how can you get instructions? So to that extent, the physical proximity is there. But physical proximity, it should not become an overpowering issue. You see, there is two kinds of devotion. Lakshmana Bhakti, Bharata Bhakti. So, Lakshmana is devoted to Rama. Bharata is devoted to Rama. Bharata is coming. So Lakshmana, some noise is heard. Rama is in Chitrakuta Parvatam, in Ayodhya Kanda. And then some noise is there. Noise very, very unusual for the forest surroundings. Forest has its own noises, but mostly it is silent. But suddenly there is noise. And then Rama asks, what is this noise? Because these Rakshasas, etc. are there, and the place is never safe. Therefore, Lakshmana climbs up a tree. And then he sees the dust rising in the distance. And then he sees the contours of a big group coming in their direction. And then he recognizes they are people coming in their direction. And then not just people, 4 units of army are there. A few elephants, Gajasainyam, horses were there, Padati, the foot soldiers were there, and chariots were also found in some small number. And so he recognizes the 4. Lakshmana's mind is a trained warrior's mind, and so, oh, this is Chaturanga Bala. This is the army of 4 units, small units, but still an army of 4 units. And then immediately, whose army could it be? That he knows, he is a very trained person. Then he waited for the chariot and the flag to appear. Because the flag, it tells whose army it is. And then he saw the flag of Dasharatha Maharaja. Oh my God, Dasharatha Maharaja is coming. Then he noticed the chariot stopped. And the person jumped out of the chariot. That is not Maharaja. There is no Maharaja there. It is Bharata coming. Now Bharata coming by walk. From there he is giving a commentary he is giving to Rama. So in cricket they say, open eye commentary or something like that. Angonde Kahal or English also, there is an expression for it. He is live commentary he is giving. And then Bharata is coming. And then he says, Hey Rama, Bharata is coming. He wants you to drive away even from here. He is not satisfied obviously with his throne. After 14 years you are likely to come back. Therefore he wants to eliminate you and me. That's why he is coming. Now you hand over my arrows and my bow to me. I will teach a lesson to him. Like that Lakshmana starts. Then Rama says, you shut up. I know why Lakshmana is coming. Rama says, hey Lakshmana, shut up. I know why Bharata is coming. I know. You think you are in my proximity, therefore you are very devoted to me. But you mind, you know this. Bharata is more devoted to me than you. You don't know that, I know it. I know why Bharata is coming. I was wondering, so that happened already. So that is what Rama says. So the devotion of Bharata and the devotion of Lakshmana, the distinction is there. Therefore the student should be like Bharata, not like Lakshmana. So he should be like Bharata. He can be like Lakshmana also, but he has, while being like Lakshmana, he should grow to the level of Bharata. So otherwise it becomes a psychological dependence. The physical presence becomes a psychological dependence. And then there is the problem which I already mentioned. Now it is the physical presence which is important and which is focused, which becomes the focus, and your confusion is not in the focus anymore. The person forgets all. This is how it happens. This is the Maya. So the person, he forgets the purpose for which he came to the Acharya, he conveniently forgets. And he doesn't make any effort about his confusion. The person is confused to the core, and he doesn't make any effort in that confusion direction. This is the distortion that takes place. And so that should not happen. That is not upasana. Therefore, constant abidance in that reality, and then always remembering the instructions of the Acharya and giving expression in life to the wisdom of the teacher. That is the real dwelling with the Guru. Dwelling means upasana, you know. That is the real dwelling. So that way one has to understand. Before concluding that, I will say one more thing so that I can feel good. It is like having a lunch or dinner. So one item is there. I feel like I have eaten enough and already my belly is full. But one very important item is sitting. If I just taste that also, then I can, Sri Krishna Arpanamastu, I can conclude it. So, these verses are like that. Really, it is like having some nice food. Anyway, I tell you, life itself is the supreme guru. You should know that. Don't always look outside to a person, that wisdom will flow from that person, Shakti Pata, etc. This is all confusion. So it is not like that. You have to look within. The real Sadguru is inside. Outer Guru is a milestone. This we have seen. But then there is another Guru, life. Life is the supreme Guru. But only thing is, once again it depends upon the student. You see, how much help you get from the Acharya depends upon the receptivity of the student only. Acharya teaches for an intelligent person and a dull person equally. A verse is there, Bhavabhuti's verse, I am not getting it now. So, like sun, the sun shines equally everywhere. But a Suryakanta Mani, that particular stone, gemstone, it reflects intense light of the sun. Whereas a piece of stone, it absorbs all the light, it doesn't reflect anything. Sun is shining equally on everything. So similarly, Acharya, Vyakaranacharya, suppose you take Vyakaranacharya, he teaches the sutras equally to all. But some people remember the sutras and some just forget about every sutra. They don't remember any sutra. Anyway, the point is, the receptivity of the student, it makes all the difference. It is not about the Acharya. It is like you go to the ocean with a small cup. So only that much water you can draw from that ocean. You cannot draw more water just because ocean has so much water. So, therefore, one should be receptive. When will you be receptive? When you are attentive. When you are attentive, then you are receptive. No, I am attentive. Attentive to what? Attentive to samsara, not that kind of attentive. Attentive to the truth of life. And the life is the supreme guru, and it is teaching lessons. And be attentive to the lessons of life, the lessons taught by the life. And also be obedient to those lessons. Life teaches a lesson. Be obedient to that lesson. Life commands. Be obedient to that command. And so, that from life itself, you can draw all the wisdom, all the lessons. When you personalize the source of wisdom and lessons, then that person is the Acharya. So, when you take lessons directly from life, then that Acharya is now the inner Guru. Okay? So you can understand it that way. That is the last statement. So now the word Acharya is covered fully. Acharyopasanam. Now I am satisfied. Acharyopasanam shaucham. That's why we need time. If you run, you cannot do justice to it, you know. While eating means you sit and eat. If you are standing or walking and eating is not proper. Acharyopasanam, shaucham we have covered. Then comes sthairyam. Sthairyam atma vinigraha. So, sthairyam means avichelitatvam. Means not getting swayed. Not getting swayed. Staying focused. Sthira. You see, you should have that stability. That is missing in our lives. We are not stable. So we are very unstable people. We get disturbed easily. And we get swayed easily. We run from this, in this direction, then something else comes. So leave this direction and run in another direction. In a way, what we do in life is like digging for water and digging small, small holes all over the place. That is not how you get water. If you want water, you have to dig only one place. And dig there deeply. Not digging a hole here, a hole there, a hole there, a hole there. Like that, digging all over the place doesn't get water. So you have to dig at the same place again and again. That means you should be focused. You should not be distracted by each and everything. Avichalita. So heart and mind, so you should devote your heart and mind to the same. Generally, when a person asks the question, so for example, amanitvam, I talk of amanitvam, then immediately you ask the question, suppose we are family people working a career and all that, how amanitvam will be possible? Suppose you ask like that. That means your mind is on amanitvam and your heart is on samsara. So, it should not be like that. So, that means you want amanitvam along with the samsara. Samsara means it promotes manitvam. And so you want to keep all that manitvam of the samsara. And also you want to grab Gita also in the deal. So, how does it work? It doesn't work like that. So, your heart must be there where your mind is. And your mind must be there where your heart is. Mayasakta manah partha yogam yunjan madashrayaha. You are doing yoga, yogam yunjan. You are practicing yoga. Not yoga, it is not hatha yoga. No, hatha yoga could be a small part of it. So you are a yogi, tasmad yogi bhavarjuna. And then your buddhi and manaha, two faculties. Your buddhi is on samsara. Your manaha, no, it is the other way. Your manaha is on samsara. Your buddhi is on Ishvara. Or, suppose you are worshipping Ishvara for heaven. Then, so asakta manaha, svarge asakta manaha, Ishvaram ashrayati. Maya asakta manah partha yogam yunyan madashrayaha. No, wo nahi chalega. So, if you have ashraya in Ishvara, you should have asakti also in Ishvara. If you have buddhi on Ishvara, you should have love also on Ishvara. Love elsewhere, buddhi here. This is called vaidhi bhakti. That doesn't work. And therefore, both heart and mind should be on the goal of self-knowledge. I love self and I understand, I try to understand self. So I love samsara. But I don't mind knowing the self. What do you think? Knowing the self means, what do you think? It is not some worldly thing, you know. Anyway, so heart and mind should be in the same place. We'll come back. Om Purnamada Purnamidam. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha. Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Krishna Pranamastu.